I'll invite you guys up in a second. I want to just read a scripture. My name is Scott Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. And 1 month ago tomorrow, six of us sat in Gallo, in the Kabbalah of Gallo, the hub of the Mid-Highlands of Sasiga, and worshipped with a full gospel church. No, the Lutheran church, but you would have thought we were in the full gospel church because it was energetic, full of the Holy Spirit, and not low-key, that's for sure. And the preacher that day gave us a powerful message about how love must not just be in words, but it must be in action and in truth, from 1 John. And then they invited me to come and share just a word from us, as well as another friend of ours, and I read this scripture for them, so I read it for us today. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'll leave it at that. We'll start with a video. Andrew, are we ready? I just want to say thank you to Andrew for all his work this morning.
Hello. My name is Gitanet, and I work for FH Sasiga as Child Sponsor Relations Officer.
And as part of that, you take the photos?
Sure.
Yes. All right, so Getanet is going to help us with learning some Oromifa. Hello.
Akam.
Akam. And in response to Akam, you say?
Akam, the same.
Yeah, Akam. And then also you could say Faya.
Faya.
Faya. Or Naga.
Naga.
That which both mean fine or good?
Yes.
Yes, okay. How do you say, how are you?
Akam Jirta.
Oh, Akam Jirta. That's different. And also Nagada.
Yes.
Yes.
Nagada.
Nagada, with an inflection up. Or if you say Nagada, just level, it's peace. Nagada? Nagada.
Nagada is a response.
Peace.
Yeah.
Or shalom.
I'm peace, I'm fine.
I'm fine, okay. How do you say bye to one person?
Bye is ciao.
Yeah, level. Ciao. Or nagati?
Nagati.
Nagati.
Yeah.
Nagat. Or to a group? Nagatola?
Nagatola. Have a good day.
Yes. Oh, there you go. Okay. Thank you.
Galatoma.
Galatoma.
Yeah.
And after people say Galatoma, they often say okay, which in Oromifa is ish.
Ish.
Ish? What does it mean?
Ish is to say okay.
Okay. Yes. So thank you. Okay. Ish. Sorry.
Ifama.
Ifama or Ifatama?
Ifatama, yeah. Ifama is simple and very common.
Ifama. And please?
Malo.
Malo. Malo. Good night to one person?
Nagambuli.
Nagambuli. Good night to a group of people?
Nagambula.
Nagambula. Okay. A village is Kabale.
Kabale.
And coffee? Galatoma.
Galatoma.
There we go.
Hello. My name is Gitanet, and I...
It goes funny there, so our fault. Thank you. I'm going to invite Jeff and Rosemary and Brian to come on up. And we have a great task of trying to pull you into an amazing journey that we went on recently. We're going to pull up these chairs, grab a chair. That's the Ethiopian flag that you saw there. This is our team. Oh, they're all 3 seconds. Okay. This is Jim Huving. Jim works with FH Canada. He came with us. And that's Brenda Lee, who's not with us today. She's our, she was like having Justin Bieber with us on the trip. What I mean is, you know, we enter into the region, into the villages, and we're a group of white folks. And then you have Brenda Lee, a shorter Chinese heritage woman with us. And she was so popular with them. It was amazing. We'd be out, we'd step out into the center of a village area or step outside of the church where they'd welcome us. There'd be 300 people and 200 of them would be around Brenda. Like, oh my gosh. It happened everywhere we went. It was very fun. Brenda is away on a journey right now, so she's away. But this is us. We were the team, and Brenda and Jim. Jim came from Cloverdale. He's an executive pastor of a church over there, a good friend of mine. I've known him for 10 years, but now works with Food for the Hungry Canada. So he came with us to support us, learn with us. I just want to explain the purpose of our trip, because lots of people wonder, why did you go? What did you do? What did you build? All that kind of stuff. We don't. We don't go to do that. We went to learn about these friends that are bound to us, these people who know about a church in Victoria, Canada. Isn't that crazy to think? There is a remote community in Western Ethiopia that knows about a church called Lambrick Park Church, somewhere in Canada. And they know about us, and they believe that somehow what we do changes their lives. We matter to them. And so we went to learn about them because they matter to us. We're bound up with them. We went to learn about their culture. We went to learn about their struggles, about their dreams, and their successes. So we went to learn. We went just for the sake of relationship because they are our brothers and sisters, and we are bound together. And so it matters that we are just there with them, shaking their hands, saying, Akam, Faya, Nagada, and learning their language. We went there to encourage them in the beautiful and important work that they are doing. We didn't go there to do anything for them, but to encourage them in what they are doing. And we went to continue to discern, how do we live in this partnership well? That's it. That's why we went. Jeff, I'm going to hand it to you. You got a mic there?
We have fallen in love with the Ethiopians in the Sisiga district. And it's been a privilege to go back there this time. But we started in 2005 when this church was invited to participate with Food for the Hungry and go to Bello, Ethiopia. We didn't even really know where it was. Had to look on a map to figure out where it was. And then even when we got to Addis Ababa to go to Bello, we didn't know whether it was going to be to the west or to the east. Eventually, we went west to the Sisiga district. So over 12 years, the Sisiga district project went from abject poverty, destitute poverty, to sustainability. And 2 years ago, we went there to help them graduate, to see them graduate. And it was a terrific time, and some of us got to go on that trip. This year, we went back, the fifth trip from Lambrick Park Church to this community to officially initiate the movement of the project from the Sisiga lowlands into the Sisiga mid-highlands. So we hope to see the same things happen there. It's all based on this idea of child-focused community development, helping end poverty by teaching children, providing education, health care, agricultural support. I think I'm close to that's all I want to say about this. Our visits basically build relationship, and relationship is what it's all about. Prayer, community prayer here for the people, and visiting and developing relationship. They know who you are. They know Lambrick Park Church, and they know us.
Yes, all over the area, we see the words Lambrick Park Church. Welcome. Everywhere. W-E-L-L-C-O-M-E. Everywhere. It's all about relationship. 14 years ago, when we got started on this, we thought, it's all about relationship. How does that work? And yet here we are in 2019, being remembered in the Sisiga Mid-Highlands and remembering, hopefully, the people we meet. We are developing a relationship of friendship with people who live halfway around the world, wear different clothes, have different habits, eat different food, speak a different language, but love the same God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'd like to take a minute, actually 4 minutes, and tell you about 3 examples of relationship we have with people on the ground in Ethiopia, in Sisiga, the people who actually work there. One day, we were walking down a rugged path to meet a sponsored child. My eyes were cast down so I wouldn't trip or fall. And suddenly I heard, "Rosemary!" It was Wurgeri, one of the community workers who cares for your children and our children, for our sponsored children. He had a huge smile on his face and then basically proceeded to tell me all about myself. All the things he remembered from our last trip to Sisiga. I couldn't believe it. Community workers, just so you get the picture here, they're developing their English language skills so we can converse. And let me tell you, it's fun to be remembered. Wow, halfway around the world. Another example. On the last night of our visit to the Mid-Highlands, Kebada, our host, invited the on-the-ground FH Ethiopia staff from the Sisiga Mid-Highlands to a barbecue. The barbecue was right outside our hotel, and it was in Nekemt. So for the very first time, and let me tell you, this was amazing, we met Abera. Abera is the leader of the project in the Mid-Highlands. We met his wife. We have never met the spouse of one of the on-the-ground workers before. So I had the privilege of talking to Abera's wife. She's a middle school teacher in Nekemt. Her English is very rudimentary, but it's better than my Oromo Fia. And so we managed to communicate. She, her love for teaching, and even more so, her love for Abera, and the joy he has as he leads the project. Example number 3. One of the absolute highlights, beyond any expectation, cloaked in deep secrecy and saved until the last moment of the last day after we returned to Addis Ababa, was our visit to Kebada's home. Calm, cool, composed, Kebada, who monitored everything we did, everything we ate, every step we took, every place we went, was excited. He was excited. After our typical visit to the FH headquarters in Addis, we began driving through narrow alleys, past open markets, as Kevita's excitement mounted. Finally, we parked, got out of the car, and passed through the gates of Kebada's home. We have never visited the home of an Ethiopian staff member before, ever. We met Kebada's 25-pound pet tortoise. And then we mounted the steps in his home where we met his wife, Bizu. Bizu, Kebada's wife, had the coffee beans roasted in a typical Ethiopian roaster placed on the tile floor in her living room. Try that. The coffee was crushed and then boiled in a coffee pot, and in short order was being served by Kebada to each of us. We had seen vendors at the side of the road with their own roasting apparatus, both steaming corn and roasting it. Everyone had wanted to taste it, but true to Kebada's form and caution, we didn't try the roadside corn. But he prepared it for us himself in his home. It's not like peninsula corn, no. But we got to try tasty steamed corn, followed by even tastier roasted corn. We have to be careful what we say in front of Kebada, because he wants to do everything for us that we ask. What an absolute treat to go into Kebada's home and meet his wife, Bisu. Relationships take time, but they're happening. Thanks be to God, Galatoma.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rosemary. It's true. You go, you take your first bite of this corn, and you're expecting the light, sweet, watery. It was like eating edamame off of a corn husk. It was really different experience. Very filling. You get halfway through half a cob, and you're like, I'm done. All right. Brian's going to tell us about a typical day.
You never got through a cob.
That's right, you didn't.
No.
That's right.
So a typical day. A typical day started at 7 o'clock in the morning, where
You've been awake for 3 hours already.
Well, none of us slept. which started with this little adventure called breakfast. Often we chased our eggs around the plate, and we had our porridge through a straw. 8 o'clock, we'd get into the vehicles, and it was about, it was only 16 kilometers, but it took 40 minutes of kidney jarring travel to get into the Sasiga where we were going. We'd stop at a kebele, or a little village, different each day. We'd visit a sponsor child, or we would see homes and families, successful farm projects, or we would visit schools. Then after that, we would head back to Gallo, which is kind of the hub of the Mid-Highlands. And there we would have lunch, and then we would have the coffee event. Coffee usually took about an hour and a half. They would dry the beans, they would roast the beans, they would crush the beans, and then they would crush the beans, and then we'd have coffee. Well, whoa. These guys would have coffee.
And they roast, yeah. They brew it.
Well, they brew it. Yeah, there's a lot to it. It's an hour and a half.
Walk around.
And you get a shot. It's not like a cup of coffee. You get a shot of coffee. Yeah. After that, we'd head back out onto the road again, and we'd visit another kebele. Check out more stuff, see more success stories. And then we had that 40-minute ride. Actually, it was more than 40 minutes, because often the kebeles were further away from Gallo than we were going. We had that jarring ride back, where we'd have another adventure called dinner. A debrief, and then we prayed for sleep.
And Wi-Fi.
And Wi-Fi, yes.
Showers.
All these things were very spotty. And running water was actually a bonus from time to time.
All right. Well, we're going to tell you some stories. This will be the rest of our time. So my story is about us, probably our first day going out into the kebeles to meet families. We show up at a home. This is a very typical story in many ways. I'm reading a text I wrote to my brother later that night. Imagine a family that can't afford to feed their children more than once a day. They live in a mud hut, which to us, when you see photos, looks very romantic. But if that's your life, it's not romantic. They live in a mud hut, they cook, they live, they sleep all in the one room. And their animals roam in and out of the home. They work their land, but it produces very little. They have no bathroom, no outhouse, and so they do their business in and around their fields. They're constantly sick with diarrheal diseases due to lack of hygiene, sanitation, clean water. Imagine all the ways that impacts your life. You're cooking on a wood fire in the middle of your home. One of your children has to spend a whole day collecting the wood, as do most of the community. So that's their life, collecting wood, so you can burn a fire in your own home and breathe that smoke in for the fires, the meals you're going to eat. All the sickness that comes along with that, the health costs, going to a clinic, loss of ability to invest that time in caring for your farm. FH shows up and trains the parents to move the animals out of the home, create a bit of a boundary, provides a concrete slab for the family to build a latrine outside of the house, which they dig together as a community. And with that, they establish a washing, hand washing station. This man was so proud to show us him washing his hands after what would be using that latrine. They work with them to help them build a fuel-efficient stove. What this is a clay and mud built little stove structure that has a hole in it, and they can use a lot less firewood for it. It has venting that goes out to the wall. It's like a little outhouse building size, but it's now where they can cook, and they don't have to breathe that smoke in their home, and they only need much less firewood, so less investment of time of one of their children. Their health outcomes increase because their respiratory issues are going down. And they teach them how to work the land, FH does, how to work the land better, how to use better, more productive crops, and their harvest doubles or triples or more. They introduce to them this thing of growing vegetables so their kids can eat things that are more nourishing. Their health increases, their crops grow, they're able to make a living and eat three meals and maybe more.
I have to say that around this house was the most polished dirt floor I have ever seen. It was amazing.
Yep. We're gonna watch Brenda's video, I think.
There's so many things that have impressed me about the work and the partnership that we have with FH here in Sasiga. One of the things that I'm super impressed with is the impact that it's had on the quality of life for women. So one of the things that we did is we went to visit a farmhouse where the farmer had learned how to use compost and turn that into a biofuel. And so what he did was he actually put a line through to his home, and the wife was able to use that as a burner and use that instead of firewood. So that would mean less smoke, so that's in the house, in a confined space, so that would mean that better health outcomes. And then the other thing was that it would mean that she didn't have to gather firewood.
There are some pictures of that if you want to see them. Do you want to put on set six? And there's the group going down to see the biofuel installation. And of course, this is the source of the fuel. And through a process of composting and a collection of the gas piping into the house onto a burner and ignition, and yay, we have a cooking source inside the house. And then the wife is happy.
So we have a back-to-school family. Of course, that just reaches me, back to school. And this is back to school after a bit of time. Imagine a tiny house with a dirt floor, a paper welcome sign above the door, the interior wallpapered with newspaper clippings, school projects, alphabets, and printing. And with genuine pride, this family invited us into their home. Now imagine meeting a family of five sitting behind a low table, their faces positively glowing as we chat through a translator about school. Everyone in this family goes to school, and by that I mean basically middle school and high school. They're all going to school. There are three teens. The youngest is in grade 9, and he and his mom go to school together. Can you believe it? How would you like to go to school with your grade 9 student, sit in class, answer questions, do the projects? That's what this mother is doing. And I'm talking to the mothers here. Imagine you doing this. This is what the mother is doing. She is absolutely thrilled about doing this. They're proud and they're loving it. The dad is taking a trade so he can get a job. And his two other children, a daughter and son not much older than their little brother in grade 9, are also in high school. A family that is going to school together, and they're happy about it. Our friend Kebada has repeatedly said over the years, education is the best way to alleviate poverty. So this is really important to the community. What we all remember about this family is the joy that radiated from them. You could feel the heat of it. And their pride in all attending school after countless years of not having completed their schooling. Together we prayed and thanked God for this family and the opportunities they are embracing.
There were so many cool stories, and we all had, when we met earlier this week, we all struggled to pick one. The one I picked is about a family before FH got there who is, again, in poverty, really struggling. They had very unproductive farmland, and the parents were both uneducated. One son was sponsored by FH, and when we were there, the social worker was explaining to us that he now has a 93% grade average in school. His older sister was not to be outdone, and she has the second highest grade average in her grade, which was really cool. But the most amazing part of this story for me, and it's something that none of us here on stage could explain to you, is the joy, the absolute joy we got to see in this mom's face. When she told us, her grade 9 son taught her to read her Bible. I think she'd been a Christian a long time, and now she can read her Bible. After that, we learned that the parents are part of the church choir. And so we asked if they would sing for us, which they said they would do if we sang for them. So one was really awesome and one was not so much. The thing they learned that day is you can actually sing and not move.
Brian, yeah? Taught them something.
I did. Yeah, we were tree trunks. It was fantastic. And then after that embarrassment, we went and saw the success that they are now having as a productive, a very actually very productive farm. The scenery of that farm, that's it right there. Yeah. That's what heaven's going to be. We went, honestly, we were back in Eden. I honestly believe that. It was absolutely stunning. But what those pictures don't show is the farmland is on a 45% grade. And you can't imagine trying to get your crop up that grade weekly so you can take it to market. As part of that fun, Rosemary got to experience a new little something-something.
So standing on the side of the hill, intently observing the coffee seedlings, they're kind of like bedding plants to be separated and then sold to other farmers to start their coffee plantation. So this was a very productive farm. As I observed, my feet felt a little itchy and irritated. I looked down. Sure enough, there was an army, a cluster of ants running everywhere, including up my pants. Those pesky little things were biting me, fire ants, and not just me, but Brenda, who was standing right beside me. We frantically started running. Which direction should we go? We ran up the hill. Where could we take our shoes off? Where could we take our pants off? Where could we go? Everything's out there. There really wasn't anywhere, but we had to do both. There was a sort of a shed, and there was a rock, so we got our shoes off on that rock, and, well, you know, crowds gather in Ethiopia, and you just can't really care about it too much. Those pants were off also.
Those legs were white.
And we And we shook them out, and we scraped our shoes off, and we put them back on, and set.
And all day long went like this. Are they there again? Are they there again?
But settled down. Anyway, it was a beautiful farm.
You've heard John at the beginning talk about sponsoring children. And I get to talk about that a little bit because it's a very special part of visiting a village where there are sponsored kids. And out of this church, there's quite a number of sponsored kids. Child-focused community development is based on sponsoring children. How does that work? Well, people send their money, you send their money, your money, and the money goes to providing educational materials, a school uniform, admission fees, also health care, also agricultural materials for the family, the provision of a latrine for the family. So you're sponsoring a child, but it's benefiting the whole family. Not only that, it benefits the whole community, because the whole community benefits from the education provided by the social worker, not only to the kid going to the school, but to the whole family on agricultural practices, health and hygiene, and the rest of the community sees that and learns from it too. So child-focused community development is a huge thing. Of course, we see the smiling faces on the little brochures we take home, the letters that come in the mail. Once or twice a year, we get to write letters back to them. And for those special people who get to go and meet their kids that they've sponsored, that's a real treat. We were able to visit some of the other kids that others have sponsored. And so we also saw one or two. One of ours we had seen 2 years ago, and we recognized the Frisbee on the wall that we gave them that time. So child sponsorship is a big thing. We're going to push hard on this, encourage you, because the benefits to you are mammoth, but the benefits to them are unmeasurable.
Brian. So before we left, a month before we left, roughly, Scott and his family did a benefit fundraising concert for us. And that concert, plus the month leading up to us leaving, this community was extremely generous, and we raised $7,400, right?
Yeah.
$7,400.
We needed a minimum $4,000, and we raised $7,400.
Yeah.
So to you and neighbors and friends.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that money has gone to a number of places. It went to plane tickets and stuff like that. But one of the things that we decided to do was to bring a gift that we could give to the Sasiga community. There are 16 16 elementary and middle schools in the Sasiga area. And so we chose to take 32 soccer balls to them. It was a lot of fun. And it became obvious really quickly that guys play soccer and girls want to be educated. Guys were killing each other with jackets and swatting each other like flies because they wanted the ball. And Rosemary and Brenda ended up with this huge huddle of girls that just wanted ABCs and numbers. But it was a lot of fun. The balls were very well received. And so thank you. Sasiga thanks you for your generosity.
We need to end. So we're going to end with just naming a few things we can pray for and let you know to pray for. So Jeff, do you want to talk about just, or Rosemary, either of you, about maybe the political situation there? I know, Rosemary, you had a thought.
Yes, if anybody knows or read CNN this morning, there was an attempted coup about 600 kilometers north of where we were. So the same distance from Addis to Nekemt, further north up at Lake Tana, There was a misguided attempted coup, and a military general was murdered. It's all under control now. But there are regional difficulties in Ethiopia prompted by individual personal desire for control, as well as some tribal competition. And that tribal competition has infiltrated the lowlands where we've been working for the last 12 years. Pray for the lowlands, because they have graduated, but they are facing a whole new set of struggles. But at least their education that they've learned and the poverty reduction has benefited them. But now they have to wrestle with other things. So one, pray for the lowlands as they learn to cope with the next step of things.
As farmers explore ways to make their land more productive, there is opportunity to make money in ways that are not that helpful. And so two times over the course of our journey, we came across a farm and we're learning about what they were growing, and off in the distance noticed that they were growing something called chat or cat, which essentially is drugs. And you know, you're trying to see your family be able to feed your kids, and you're desperate to find something that you can make a quick turn on. And FH is working really hard to hold those farmers accountable in their expressed intention to phase it out and replace it with coffee. So we can pray for families, pray for community leaders, pray for FH as they walk with families and help them make good decisions that will be best for their families and for their community.
And I also would love you to think about the next trip. Maybe it'll happen in a couple of years, and it would be so good if some of you, one of you, three of you, five of you, a whole bunch of you would think about going on the next trip to Sasiga. You will not regret it. It will change your life. So you can start praying about that now.
Let me pray. We'll invite the worship team to come back us up and lead us in a response. I'm just going to read the scripture for us one more time. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you that these are your people, that these are your children, that these are your communities, that you are at work there, just as you are at work among us and at work in us. God, where we are making strides as a community and even personally, and where we are also growing drugs in our backyard. Lord, where we have so much that needs to be addressed in us and change and hope that needs to come. We pray again for our brothers and sisters in the mid-highlands of Sasiga, in the lowlands today. We pray for the FH team there, the community workers, the project leaders, and we ask, oh God, that you would take their hands again today as they lay to rest, really, for the end of what is their Sunday, and look into the week ahead. Would you give them faith and hope for the work before them? We ask for the same for us. Amen.